Let us pray. God of love and compassion, who fulfills God's promises to your people, fill our hearts and fill this house and all the houses that worship you with splendor, and all houses around the world with joy and splendor too. In your name we pray. Amen. So like I said earlier, it is wonderful to be back among you this morning. And my trip to Ireland was wonderful. I was in Ireland for 2 weeks, and then that was followed by a clergy retreat with 30 other UCC clergy up in New Hampshire. It was called the Credo Retreat. And so when I was at home in Ireland, many of you know that my mother and brother still live there. And some of you already know that my brother, my older brother, suffered from brain damage. So he had a moped accident on the night of his engagement party the month before my son Finn was born 11 years ago. So since then, once he recovered, this is we'll be talking a little bit about change later today, and this is the story of my brother's change. He went from a coma for 6 months to sort of twitching awake. My mom was told that he would never recover and possibly never even swallow again. But lo and behold, 11 years later, he is eating, talking slowly, has a sense of who he is, getting around independently in his wheelchair, has his own apartment, and is living in a facility in Ireland in Killarney called a Cheshire Home. And it is a special facility with apartments for independent living for people with brain trauma and with spinal trauma. And so my brother, so this is a peculiarly Irish story, and I meant to put some photos in. I'll put photos in for next week. But at this facility, a two-bedroom apartment had come available. And my brother has been doing Lego for his physical therapy. And so his little one-bedroom apartment had become cluttered with Legos and books and his life. And the Cheshire Home staff thought, wouldn't it be lovely if he had maybe a little study that he could spread out in? And so they encouraged him to move. And first, Mark was tentatively open to it. And then his staff, he has a personal assistant that helps him during the week. And the personal assistant and the other staff helped Mark move some belongings across the hall, literally, out one door across the hall to the second two-bedroom apartment. And so during the day, they would do that. And then I heard that from the manager of the Cheshire Home when I was home that later at nighttime, Mark would be found in his wheelchair toting the bookshelves back at the end of the day and putting it back. And so during the first time they tried to make this transition, they ran into some difficulties. There were some challenges. And so they learned that I was hoping to come back, asked if I could maybe move my, just go ahead and come. So I did. And lo and behold, now my brother Mark is happily and joyfully settled and wondering at all the space he now has to move around. And so that story has a wonderful, to me, ultimately happy ending. He's doing well. I, of course, grieve what I experience as the devastation that he carries in his life. But what a wonderful story of recovery and resilience and the ability to work through massive changes. It is incredible. So I celebrate. He's one of my heroes. That's why I am talking about him. I'll show a picture next time. And so that story leads us into the theme for today, but also a little bit into our scripture. I'm going to just touch on scripture because have you ever heard of Haggai? Nobody's heard of Haggai, right? He's one of the lesser known prophets in our Hebrew text. And where he comes from is from the exile of the Hebrew people by the Babylonians. So when Babylonia conquered Israel and Judah around 580-ish BCE, before the birth of Christ, they took the Hebrew folks into exile and kept them as captives and slaves for a time. And then later, about 530-ish, that exile ended because the Babylonians were conquered by the Persians. And then Cyrus the Great said, okay, you can go back home, and if you really want to, you can build a new temple in Jerusalem. And so Haggai comes in right around 520 when the Persian Empire is itself beginning to decline. And in our scripture specifically today, he's saying, all right, people, it's time to get it together. We are going to restore Jerusalem, rebuild the temple, and we are going to restore the Davidic kingdom. And so in this scripture, he's invoking the name of the king that would be and the temple high priest and saying, let's do it. We're going to rebuild. And therefore, in scripture, we hear the words of fill our house with splendor. Let us again be who we are. Recognize ourselves and who we are. And important to Haggai, he wanted to move people away from the worship of idols, which the prophets of old really didn't like. He said, let's get back to our God as we understand God. So that's what's happening today. And so he is recognizing all the change that has happened, the devastation to the land, the multiple conquerors, time in slavery and captivity, and then coming back to restoration, the promise of God's restoration. And so today I wanted to go from there into a somewhat humorous vein. And I tried to find some slides, and they're a little bit too little, but I'm going to ask Ken if he would help me with this. It's not critical that you see everything. I will try to describe what's going on. So just scroll down, Ken, and then click on the little first picture that you see. You'll have to scroll all the way down that page. Whoops, sorry. It's tricky. We'll just give it a moment because Ken and I practiced this earlier and it was genuinely hard. So you have to scroll down to the bottom of the page. It's not. We tried it. It worked earlier. We totally did it. I can come help if you like. We'll just do it quickly. We won't take too much time at it, but we'll just see if we can get to at least the first slide and then go from there. Your mouse disappeared. Oh, it totally did. So it's not on the computer anymore, but it's up on the... Isn't that weird? It's up on that screen. So we can... Let's scroll. All right, so if you just click on that one right there, but your mouse is not moving. Okay, we're going to improvise. I will describe to you what I was attempting to do today. Have any of you heard of a little... Oh, look, we're almost there. Oh, I see the mouse, but I don't think Ken can see the mouse. You can see it? Oh, hey. Oh, it worked. Have any of you heard of this little book that was published in 1988 by a guy called Spencer, and the title is called Who Moved My Teas? It's a hilarious little book. It's like this thick, and you can read it in an hour. So some of you are not familiar with it. So basically what it is, you can see these two little guys on a lump of cheese, and it says, having cheese makes you happy. And then what happens is, in the characters, there's four characters in the book. There's two little mice and two little people. And what they represent metaphorically is the parts of ourselves that respond to change. And so there's a sniff, scurry, him, and haw. And so where are we now? Oh, cheese is what we want in life. So for Haggai, cheese, what they wanted was the temple and the restoration of the Hebrew people, restoration of the Davidic kingdom. That was their cheese. That's the cheese they were looking for. But we all have individually in our lives the cheese that we like and that we want. And then as a community, because we're thinking about renewal, we're thinking about our cheese. What kind of cheese do we have? All right. So you can just stay on that. Well, go ahead and go to the next slide if you can. We'll see what it says. There it is. We pursue our cheese because it makes us happy. Awesome. And then the next one has a little picture of all the characters. So let's go to the blue one. All right. So here we are. We're talking about change. This is my brother. My brother maybe was more in the haw persona in his change. He was like, at first a little scared about cheese, about changing. But once he discovered that the old cheese maybe wasn't ultimately as nice as the new cheese, he made the transition. So basically what happens is in the story, I'm getting ahead of myself, right? The little mice, little people are in a maze. It's just a story. And every day they go and they have their cheese that they like and they go there and they eat their cheese. And then one day they discover the cheese is gone. They've eaten it all. So what to do? So these are the responses of the characters when, after they've learned their cheese is missing. So Ha is at first startled, and then is a little scared, but then he laughs, and he goes on in search of new cheese in the maze. Hem, another little person, is who does not want to change? He does not want to change. He's like, it's not fair. I don't like change. And he grumbles throughout the little book. And then there's Sniff, who can smell change in the air. And then there's Scurry, another little mouse, who goes into action immediately in search of new cheese. And so probably all of us have all of these parts in our brains when it comes to change. But, you know, some of us may relate more to one or the other. And so, like I said, my brother was a little bit more in the ha category. And I certainly, in my own self, can experience all of those all the time when I think of change. But basically, they go off in search, and they have adventures, Ha is the most articulate. He goes through. He leaves Hem behind. Hem just can't go, so he's just sitting. But Ha goes out, and he goes on adventures, and every now and then, he'll find a little scrap of cheese, and, you know, he'll think about it and munch on it. And then, you know, he'll be worried, okay, there won't be any more new cheese, or I'm going to starve, or he'll have all this anxiety. But then he'll have a realization, and he wrote his realizations on a sheet. And I don't know that we can try the next slide. Lovely. And then try the next one. Lovely. So you can't read it because it's a little too small, but I'll read them to you. So the first realization that Hem and Ha have is change happens. Totally. And then they keep moving, keep trying to find the cheese. And then the next wise thing was, Ha writes down, anticipate change. Get ready for the cheese to move. Because, you know, when you find your cheese supply dwindling, maybe it's time to start thinking about what might come next. Monitor change. Smell the cheese often so you know when it is getting old. Or maybe dwindling in supply. A little word of wisdom. Another one, adapt to change quickly. The quicker you let go of old cheese, the sooner you can enjoy new cheese. Little mousy wisdom. Change. Move with the cheese. I love that. As an Irish person who loves cheese and who totally gained a couple of pounds eating Irish cheese, I have to say moving with the cheese totally works for me. And then there's this command that, you know, just doesn't work for me. Enjoy change. So even in my therapist's office, let me just tell you a quick story about my therapist is a 72-year-old Jewish woman. She is awesome and forthright, and I love her. And I was talking about change, and she looks at me, she's like, Naomi, everyone hates change. Who do you know who loves change? Nobody loves change. She's like, come on. So this thing, the enjoy change command, I have mixed feelings about that one. Do any of you really love change? Hey, Jerry does. Awesome, Larry. See, you proved. I will go back and I will tell her I discovered two people who love change. Fantastic. Most of us have trouble with it. And then the other thing, keep moving with it. They keep moving the cheese. Be ready to change quickly and enjoy change again because the cheese keeps moving. All right, so I'm bringing this up today because I missed your first Sunday of November, and we've made first Sundays the Sunday for renewal. We'll be, and the first Sunday talkbacks for renewal. And after church today, we're going to be talking about our renewal task force. We're going to be meeting. I missed the meeting, so I'm going to be getting caught up myself. But this is an invitation for us to reflect on where we are. And a couple of things have come to my, just sort of bubbled up to my attention. And I just want to get a sense, how many of you truly feel that change is needed here at Campbell UCC? So most of you feel like change is needed. Okay. And have most of you have an understanding of why change is needed? Yeah. throughout, I see general shakes of the hand. Is there anyone who feels like, I don't know why we have to change? Is there anyone feeling, all right, tell me more, Ed? Lovely. So, anyone want to respond to that? Just before. Oh, okay. I see a bunch of hands. I'm going to take two responses at most. Okay. So I'm sorry I can't get to everyone. George, I don't often get to hear from you, so I'm going to invite you to speak. And look, Mark is getting you the microphone. He is on top of it. Thank you, Mark. George is behind you. Yep. Lovely. Great.
I don't know if I don't see a need for change, but I feel like we're in a repetitive cycle of change for years and years. In fact, this exact story was the story we used last time we did this.
Oh, hilarious. See, I did not know
this.
Wasn't
all that long ago in my mind, at least.
Good for me to know.
So I feel like we've just kind of gone over and over. We need to change, we need to change, we need to change, and it's just...
You're exhausted. Amen. I hear the exhaustion. How many people share exhaustion? I'm seeing some nods of heads. I don't see as many hands, but I definitely see some nods of heads. I see exhaustion. Okay. Is it safe to say that most of us are feeling exhausted by a repetitive cycle of change?
I feel like we never completed the changes that we started.
Never completed. Okay. Amen, they crumble.
And then we say, oh, we need to change again, and we start over. And we just go around and around and around.
All right, so we're going to take in a deep breath.
Sorry.
Oh, no, you're beautiful. No, you're beautiful. This is great. We're going to let it out. All right. And then we're going to hold in our hearts. And you can hold, if you want to, I find it helpful myself. Sometimes I put my hand on my heart when I have to hold something that is weighty. And the weighty thing that I received there, George, was that we haven't completed our process of change. We haven't gotten a chance to. Did I hear that correctly? Chance to, but we haven't completed it. So part of what we're trying to figure out is how to complete change. I beg your pardon? Got it. I'm going to ask Sandy to speak, and then I'm going to ask our vice moderator to speak. Okay, Sandy, go next.
Who?
Sandy's behind you.
I am somewhat echoing what George said.
Okay.
And what strikes me is, you know, we're in this perpetual change cycle, and it's exhausting because the very thing that the slide is talking about happens. We get somebody, we start to move in the direction that we, I guess, the congregation at that time agreed upon, and then something happens. The pastor leaves. Our cheese moves again.
Your cheese moves, and it's so disappointing.
So, you know, it's like, and that's the issue, is that, you know, we're fighting, I think, we're more like Ham, I think. The one who's, oh, it's not fair, they moved our cheese, we worked so hard to get
we're
to where.
We're trying.
And it's hard.
Amen. So I hear a sense of we're trying, we're putting the effort in, and it's not happening. Did I hear that correctly? Okay. I'm going to go to Tracy.
Yeah, I think Sandy said it perfectly. Change takes time.
Yep.
And we get on this path of change, and it's not moving fast enough for some people. It's moving too fast for other people. So we get into this change cycle where it's we're almost there, and then something happens, the cheese moves or whatever you want to call it, something happens to cause the change to stop.
Got
and
it.
It's not necessarily because we get there and we're changing and then we just stop. I mean, there's nothing that we're doing that just stops. It's circumstances or things change that cause us to stop our forward progress.
Got it.
And that has been, to me, frustrating because we have gotten pretty close a couple of times, but then some circumstances come up and then we're back to the beginning.
So. Understood.
My other frustration is, why then do we need to start over every time?
Got it. Well, one of the reasons why we may be doing it now is because I don't know what you've done before. So until everyone tells me the full story so that I can help support you in getting where you want to go, I have to sort of relearn that with you. And then new people who've come in have to learn it too. So yeah, continuity is part of it. So we will be able to unpack this. This is why I'm encouraging you to come to the renewal meeting after worship, because it is going to take the whole community to participate. So how many of you, when changes have begun to happen at CUCC, have experienced conflict of some kind? Okay, many of you. And how many of you have found that conflict easy? I heard a giggle. Got it. All right, Kathy, but just if you could keep it short for us, we'd really be helpful. Lovely.
Changes are hard for me, and these talkbacks get me very confusing.
I totally understand, and I want to respect that, and I'm glad that you have support there. This is critical because all of us have trouble with change, even those of us who like it, Kathy. So accept all the support that is offered, and we will support you too. Just, if you can, just bear with us today. In that way, you can support us as we do this work of change too. Thank you very much for just bearing in. We really appreciate it. Yeah. Cool. All right. So I have to get my train of thought back in line here. Okay, conflict. How many people found it comfortable? So how many of you found that conflict got in the way of making the transition successfully? I'm seeing a nod. I'm seeing a hand. I'm seeing a few hands. No, you were raising your hand for a different reason. You wanted to say something. Okay, I'm seeing some nods. Okay, go ahead. Right.
Right, so it's important to acknowledge that some people actually haven't been through this.
Absolutely, some folks haven't been through this. Exactly. So I just want to bring up, the reason I started with my brother's story, because it's a really tender story. My brother has some brain damage that makes change really hard for him. But it is scary. I moved across town in August, and I wasn't moving across the hall, but it's a lot of work. It really is. Change is a lot of work, and it takes bandwidth and emotional energy, and it's a lot of work. So, one, I acknowledge how much emotional energy it takes. And two is, how many of you know or are aware that change, no matter how great or small, always comes with conflict? Always. Conflict and change are hand in hand. And we know this because, let me give a basic example. I want to, re-enter graduate school when my son is little, right? But my then husband Jason was working on his dissertation, and all of a sudden he had to change his schedule to allow me to do my work while we raised our little son. And there was conflict. Totally, right? Oh, yeah. And it was for us, in that moment, we were able to work through that and come out at the other side, transformed and going well. But sometimes conflict doesn't go. How many of you have an experience of working through conflict successfully? I see a good number of hands. That's really great. Sometimes when we encounter conflict, it's hard, and we all have our styles. We can flee, run and hide. We can freeze to stop in paralysis. We can fight. We can do all kinds of things. But fight, flight, or freeze are the three most common. And sometimes the anxiety of the change and the anxiety of facing the conflict on any level is overwhelming, and we can stop. But unless we've had a successful experience of dealing with healthy conflict in healthy ways, we don't always trust that there's going to be a good outcome. We don't always know that we can get to the other side with success and ease, and that we can get there. And that's the other part that, again, just from my personal story, because, again, of brain damage, my brother has some challenges with emotional regulation. So anger is one of them. It's not uncommon. So one of the things that's helpful for me when I engage with him is just to know that there may be an eruption. He's going to feel really bad afterwards. But because I know, I'm not going to take it personally, and we're going to get it worked out, and we do. But that's common with all of us. No matter how healthy we are, we can experience those outbursts because of the stress. And then if we know that it is going to come and we're able to offer a little grace and protect ourselves, sometimes, as long as we're patient and loving with ourselves as well as other people, we can get to the other side. Did I make sense? All right, how do you feel? I need feeling words. Go ahead, Jerry.
I think one thing that you left out.
All right.
That's most important.
Cool.
Is listen. You've got to hear what the other person says before you can either change their mind or accept their reasoning.
Understood. Great. Listening is critical. So how would you, Campbell UCC, most like me, your pastor, to support you as things start again to move into an exploratory process of change? Because we're doing that, the Renewal Task Force. We're leaning into the exhaustion. We're leaning into, oh my God, are we going to do it again? And is it all going to fall apart? And is it really worth it? Did I hear that right? All right. So good. I'm reading correctly the feelings in the room. Okay. So here we are. We're doing this. How, I'm asking you, my people, whom I love, because I've worked with you now for a year, and I am familiar with your a little bit with your personal struggles and our collective struggles. And I know that personally, as a little community, we are carrying so much. We are. You all are working 110% in your own personal lives to keep it together. I want to honor that, right? So many of us are here today personally exhausted and maxed out. I feel like all of us are here today with great love in our hearts for each other, because that is what keeps us coming back every day. So we're all feeling exhausted. And now we're faced with our community moving again into this terrain of kind of mushiness and uncertainty. Okay. How can I support you most? Sandy.
I think having a steadying hand on the process, okay. A steadying presence, that when the rest of us start to feel discouraged or frustrated or like, I can't do this again.
I can't.
Someone to keep us on course, someone to say, to remind us that you can come out on the other side, not sure what the other side's going to look like, but that's part of the process. So I think just having a steadying hand that isn't going to go away again, that isn't going to move until our cheese actually gets to where it's going to be.
Bring the cheese to fruition.
Yes.
Get it.
Yeah.
Where we want to go.
I think that is what I personally think I need.
I hear that.
An adult.
I do my best. Some days I adult. Some days, you know, some days I struggle. But thank you. Absolutely. Any other? That was beautiful, Sandy. Thank you for sharing. I see. I'm going to take, because I saw two more hands. I'm going to just take those two. And then we're going to bring to a close. And then we can continue the conversation after worship. All right. I'm going to do Larry and then Charlie. Okay.
So I have a volunteer at work that reminds me a lot of your brother. Huh. And he had a skateboarding accident when he was a teenager, and he lost the front of his brain. Wow. He's very good at repetitive stuff, but when you introduce a bunch of different steps, that, like, blows him up. So I think there's, to relate that to here, if the church service stays steady, repetitive, then this change work can happen in the background without upsetting the folks that need the steadiness within the service.
I'm seeing some nods of heads. Does that feel supportive? All right, I see a lot of, I'm feeling a general consensus. And I'm gonna receive that as a general consensus, but is there anyone who has strong feelings that that is not the case? Okay, I'm just letting you know I'm going to hear that and receive it as sort of also a feeling in the room. If any of you really have strong feelings that you don't want that to happen, you can speak with me personally, okay, after church, and I'll hear it and receive it and bring it into consideration. Did everybody hear me say that? Okay. All right. And then Charlie.
Yeah, I just wanted to chime in real quick. I like you just the way you are. I like the church the way it is. I think I'm very happy. What keeps me coming back to this church is the love and caring of the people here.
Amen.
And the way we do things here. And that's why I've been coming back the last 15 years.
Amen. Beautiful. And I can tell. I mean, it is every day that I am here. And that is, so there are just some things I want to share with you all, right? Because this is my opportunity to do it, because I've been here a year now. And I can speak with authority on this. And I promise that I will move on after this, because I've kept you long enough. But the ways in which I love you because Becky came to me this morning and noticed I was coughing and said, "Oh, there's mint tea back there. Can I get you a cup of mint tea?" Becky came in with a cup of tea, and she had cooled it before she handed it to me. Right? I love you because when I open my office door, there's a bunch of flowers sitting by the door. Makes my day, right? And those beautiful flowers are, we're sharing it. And I couldn't share my tea with you, but I can share flowers with you. I brought my showers, right? So I love you because even when life is hard and there is so much going on, you want to celebrate Christmas by making cards together, and you will go to the end of the earth to bring your beautiful supplies and your wonderful creativity and share it with us so that we can share that joy with other people in our lives that we love. Okay. I love you because you are willing to take risks that, you know, are hard for people, and few other congregations are really willing to try it in the sincere way that you are. You're willing to send ambassadors to Synod to bring back new information. You're willing to sit through long meetings with me so that I can learn about you and come to understand you better and what your needs are. And I love you because when I am confused and I don't know what is going on and I'm out of my depth, I have people that I trust that I can go to and say, "Oh, what was that? Help me." And they say, "We got this. Let me help you." And it's amazing. Okay. There are other reasons. Oh, there are so many reasons I love you, and I'm not going to go into them all now. But the other reason I love you is this gift of music that we all love, which moves our hearts, I think, every Sunday. Moves our heart. Moves my heart every single Sunday. So with a community like this, who are willing to hold each other in the moments of our lives that are hardest, I have every confidence that even in our current exhaustion, that beauty awaits us. And that the Lord is going to fill this house with splendor. Amen.